all up in the Clinton, up in Clintonville tonight.
Hey, tried to give you something that I knew would be right up your alley, man.
Only the mastermind of George Clinton could say, tear the roof off the sucker, tear the roof off the mother sucker, and get away with it. And he did. Late 70s, early 80s, it was all that in a bag of chips, as they used to say in Kiki's day. Hey, now you see, now you just stepped up your game.
Hey, man, I'm versatile. I can go back. I can go forward. You know, all around, Bill.
Well, the one time the Civic Arena opened was when the mothership landed.
That was incredible. We were there. You were too young. The mothership landed, and everybody lost their mind. You can play that all night if you want. I can go all night with that. Yeah, man, those are the good old days. And, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you it is not good to live in the past. I ignore that. I stay in the past. Some of my best days are in the past, and I ain't giving them up. Welcome back to Soul Take Champions Live. We're talking all kind of stuff. We got some very versatile guests in the studio tonight, and that means Kevin and I don't have to make up stuff as we go along, and that's a good thing. Ernie Bay is with us, and before we go to Wimbledon, segue, let's go to the zoo. What do you say? Anybody?
Anybody bite on the zoo?
Oh, thanks for asking, Ernie.
All right.
Because Soul Take Champions Live happens to have four, count them, four free tickets to the Pittsburgh
Zoo.
Man,
Bill, I like the way you roll, man. It's All-Star time in Major League Baseball. You normally come in here with Pirate tickets. There's no Pirate game, so you bring Zoo tickets.
Well, it's look, some people say going to a Pirate game on occasion is like going to the Zoo. But listen, I'm giving away. You know, I'm going to do better than that. Because Kiki wants it, I'm going to do it. We're going to go six tickets.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good, some pocket change there, brother. Six tickets to the Pittsburgh Zoo. Anybody wants them? All you got to do is call the office, 412-628-4856. Gave away eight Pirate tickets last week. Sent about 100 people to the Pirate game. They all had a great time. And it was probably the greatest game of the season. Coming back in the 10th or 11th, rain coming down, couldn't beat it. My Pittsburgh Pirates, boy. Now, listen, if you want these tickets, they're go fast. 412-628-4856. Call Achieving Greatness Incorporated. Get yourself some zoo tickets, compliments of the new Pittsburgh Courier and the Pittsburgh Zoo. 412-628-4856. The first phone call I get tomorrow morning when I go in the office, that's who the tickets go to. No, that's got to be Thursday morning. I apologize. So, having gone to the zoo, now we can go to Wimbledon. So, Ernie, since you're the resident tennis authority, I want to give you this lead in. Kevin, for 3 weeks to his credit, maybe a month, was talking about how Serena Williams was being dissed. Her number one ranking taken away. She was ranked like 840,000, some ridiculous ranking, because she took time off to have a child. Many people, including tennis people, thought it was an injustice. So let's talk Wimbledon. Let's talk Serena. And you take it.
And Ernie, here's the deal, man, before we get your comments. And I know you're ready, but we talked about Wimbledon last week. And we talked about the big dogs. We talked about Serena Williams. We talked about Roger Federer. We talked about Rafael Nadal. The big dogs went down, man. They went down, and I was hurt. I was hurt to see Serena lose, but it didn't surprise me because I know she's not in the top shape that she normally plays at.
Well, she actually won by losing. She actually won the world of mothers.
Mm-hmm.
She won the world of women.
I agree.
She won the world of people who are amazed at her physical dominance coming back 10 months after giving birth to a child.
And no question, Bill. And she had a very difficult pregnancy. I mean, she couldn't walk, you know, to her mailbox, you know, just, months after her surgery. She had a very, hard recovery. But Serena is just one of those once-in-a-lifetime athletes that come along to be, you know, in that championship game is just a feat in itself. But when and I'm no really, Bill, full disclosure, I'm no expert, but we talk tennis, and you know, all the time at the Highland Park Tennis Club, and most of the members up there knew that this was going to be one of her. It could have been her shining moment. It would have been an all-time greatest accomplishment if she would have beat Angelique Kerber. But most of us kind of knew that the form we saw her at leading up to it, she played well. But you saw these faltering with the forehand, which used to be so dominant. Her backhand was always solid, and the serve was always there. But it was the forehand that kind of bit her, and a lot of forced errors. She had like 22 unforced errors, in that first set. So Angelique Kerber was just that type of player that could physically, keep up with Serena's, because she's such a defensive
player. Let me ask you a question about Kerber. Is she a person that, given the norm, she doesn't have a chance against Serena?
No. Kerber would always have a chance, because she beat Serena before, and she's that type of player who could, like I say, physically keep up with Serena, because she's a retriever. She can, get to any ball. Every ball's in play. And with that left-handed, position she's hitting from, she's a lefty. She creates a lot of problems, So, but good on Serena for being there. Angelique, they're good friends. It was one of those matches that, as you said, Bill, she won by being there.
So, from Serena's standpoint, and just looked it up, Serena versus Kerber 6-3. So, like you said, Kerber did beat her previously. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really benefited Serena as well, I thought, for Wimbledon, Wimbledon, you play on grass,
right?
And Serena is a real good grass player. So I was hoping that would pull her through. It didn't, and as I indicated before, I did not believe Serena was in top condition, and that's definitely understandable.
It showed.
Yeah, that was my concern. Of course, when you're so great, you could just win on your athletic ability, but once you get so far, it could catch up with you. And I think that's what happened to Serena.
Yeah, seven-time champion. Her sister, Venus, five-time champion at Wimbledon. So they both play well on grass. But as you said, playing shape is just in tennis. It's very noticeable. Early on, you saw, like I say, some of her, mobility was, it was faltering. But I think her forced errors really, really, hurt her in the championship game. Where any other year, Serena's dominance, she almost had a sense of intimidation. Mm-hmm. There was no intimidation factor. Everyone knew this would be the best time. If you're going to be Serena, you get her now. Even the U.S. Open, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Serena in the quarters again.
In the quarters? I was going to ask you about that.
I think you'll see her in the quarters, because that's a hard court. It's a hard, true surface, and she does well, on those type of surfaces.
And a lot of times people don't realize it. The ball bounces, of course, differently, cement versus, or I should say
hard
versus
true
the grass. Mm-hmm. It was one ball I saw. Serena was playing in the semifinals, and I forget her name, her opponent, but Serena hit one ball. It hit the line.
Yeah, and just popped up.
And just,
yeah. I think
just
I remember that play
up,
you're talking
right.
about.
So you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, because that grass, if you watch it, just visually, you can see the green, parts in the middle court. And then when you get towards the baseline, you see where it's worn.
Right.
So you have that, worn spot from that week or so of just, playing hard tennis,
Aaron, truly incredible, though, don't you guys think? I mean, I don't think there's any other woman who would even make the finals of Wimbledon 10 months after having a baby. I mean,
no question.
I didn't. I always follow it. This year, I didn't follow it till the final, and I was like, "Wow, she's in the finals!" Right. I thought she just had a baby and had to check. You know what I mean?
That's something.
She's incredible. Mm-hmm. Both the sisters are.
Well, and I think it was suggested last week during. I heard a couple different shows, you know, most of them pale in comparison to our show, but I listened to them anyway. But somebody offered something that I thought was quite intriguing. In a very serious context, one of the national sportscasters offered that she might be the most dominant athlete in the last 20 years.
Yeah, athlete, right.
Athlete.
Forget about sport.
Yeah, just athlete. Period. Now, that's an enormous statement.
Well,
and it's an
it,
enormous
Bill.
Consideration to undertake when you think about who's being offered up against her. Now, you know, varying categories, considerations, competition, rationale, but it's a heck of a comment.
She's one away from Margaret Court. Margaret Court has 24 majors. Serena has 23. So she's already there. You're talking about, you know, in echelons of tennis, the, you know, the gods of tennis. I mean, she's knocking on her door. She's there now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember her dad, Richard Williams, you know, when Venus was taking names all those years and early on. And if you remember, the Williams sisters didn't play a lot of, you know, tournaments before they got to the majors. He kept them away from junior tennis. And he just put them on the big stage right off, you know, right off the bat. And if you remember, Venus, you know, was, you know, winning at a very young age, and Richard kept reminding people, you think this one's good, you better watch this one back here, you better watch Serena, because Serena was being beat by her big sister, but also being nurtured by her big sister, who was a champion. So Richard knew, and true to form, he said, I'm going to have number one and number two. And the tennis world almost, you know, laughed at him, you know, and, you know, that's there's no way, you know, with this, you know, sport that you can have one or two in one family. Well, who knew years later they would play one another, I think, three times, you know, in majors, which is unprecedented.
You know, Ernie, I know you've been around the game a long time. Have you had a chance to see Serena in person?
No, never have. I've only, Bill, to tell you the truth, I've only been to Indian Wells. I've been to the Indian Wells tournament. And that was only 3 years ago. So as much as I love the game, I've never gone up to New York to see the New York Open. Never went to Cincinnati. You know, I'm a stick in the mud.
The U.S. Open and
the U.S. Open
New York.
And that. But a good friend in Palm Springs, you know, he lives in Palm Springs, and he gave me an opportunity to go out there. And I'll tell you this, Bill. Once you see it live, Bill, I would say this. Let's use this analogy. When you're in a say you're in a batting cage. You want to know what it's like to, you know, when you heard the great throwers, you know, you want to know what it's like to see a 94-hour fastball. So you're in a cage and you're letting that ball, you feel that ball whiz by you. Put 20 more miles per hour on that with a serve. Venus and Serena, she's had her biggest serve was at 126. Jeez. Bill, you're talking about a 95-mile, and you'll whiff that.
Yeah, no question.
But think about the blur that you're seeing at 120. She's averaging 110.
And somebody has to return that.
And you have to return that.
And there's a big difference, too. Baseball, we compare a lot of different things to baseball. But baseball versus tennis. Baseball is not, you know, that pitch isn't coming off anything but an arm. Mm-hmm. You know, tennis is coming off of a tennis
racket. Right. You're talking spin. You're talking, you know, an opponent that – any of these players on any given day, when you said some of the big people have left, any given day in tennis, you have the best, you know, players in the world. So they all, at a certain level, they all can hit every shot. They can hit every, you know, every serve. So if you don't come with your A game, it's an upset if one of the, you know, ranked players, men or women, you know, lose in the first or second round. But it's not unheard of because, yes, there were. Yes, there were.
Well, upsets, before right? we get, and I want you to cover those and bring up all the finalists. But I want to go to the members
World
of
Cup.
The diplomatic family.
And before we do, Bill, let's go back to what Ernie was saying real quick, because you said quarterfinals for the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Serena has a real good shot of winning the U.S. Open.
She possibly could, but I know that she'll definitely probably be in a quarterfinal round. But look, there's always, you know, you always have
which
to put
is in
Serena
September,
in,
right?
Yes.
It's in September.
You always have to put her in the mix when, you know, you're talking hard, true surfaces, and, you know, Serena Williams, she's just, you know, that player that can, you know,
bring and, that. And the reason heat. I'm saying is because she was able to get to the finals in Wimbledon, mm-hmm. not being in top shape. I think by the time September comes around and the U.S. Open, she has a better opportunity of being in top shape.
And if she's still carrying that chip on her shoulder, there's no telling what she might do. But I wanted to go to the diplomatic family here. So you guys have been all over the world. Have you done Wimbledon or any of the big tennis tournaments? U.S. Open, any of that kind of stuff?
No, I haven't been to any of the large tennis events. But we've met a lot of different interesting people. But no, I haven't been to the U.S. Open or Wimbledon.
Met some tennis stars?
I actually do the International Sports Hall of Fame interviews with all the celebrities that it happens in Columbus. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding. It's one of the largest events that happens. And so every year we have inductees. So we have different celebrities. We've had Apollo Ono. We've had Herschel Walker. So I've interviewed all of them. We have it all on video. It's spectacular. It's a really wonderful event. You have people from all types of The Amazing Race, the creator of The Amazing Race, Phil Kogan. But it's a fantastic event. Recommend people to go. It's once a year. It's been around for 100 years. It's just built on a handshake.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And Arnold brings over 300,000 people into that city.
Well, I figured you guys were doing something when you were traveling. But
the World Cup is what I'm interested in, Bill. He's a soccer guy.
Well, let's come back to that. But clean up the finalists in Wimbledon for those who were asleep last weekend.
Well, Novak Djokovic.
Because there were some upsets nobody saw coming.
Novak Djokovic, won the men's final. He defeated Kevin Anderson, and actually the match was Kevin Anderson and Isner. I mean, that match went on for, I think it went to 23, the 23rd game, because at the fifth set at Wimbledon, you have to play it out. You have to have the next two games have to be won. So it went to 23-20, 23-20, I think.
Yeah, it was and 6.5 hours.
Six and a half hours, right.
It was crazy, I heard.
It was. And because these are, guys who are serving at an incredible level. And let's face it, they're the giants in the sports. I mean, Isner's 6'10", and, Kevin Anderson's 6'7".
Speaking of which, connecting a few dots once again, the great Connie Hawkins and Kenny Durrett, two local basketball phenoms, and Connie Hawkins, certainly an NBA Hall of Famer, played great tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And
Billy Knight was on the scene at that time.
Billy Knight.
The great Pitt.
The Pitt All-American graduate, Hall of Famer, and NBA scoring leader for three years, mm-hmm. won the first two or three NBA tennis challenges.
So he was
quite the tennis player. But does height give you a greater advantage necessarily?
No, not in tennis. Tennis is one
not
of
even
those
to
games.
Reach.
Let's face it, covering the court, covering the net, range matters. But Bill, you have, players who, stature doesn't mean, a whole lot in tennis, because I mean you can look at some players who have beat Isner, and like Martin Cilic, he's not not that big, 6'3", 6'4", 6'2", 6'3", but it doesn't matter when you have technique. Size can matter, but in tennis there's no prototype. You can be as small as
Agassi was under 6 foot, was he not?
Yeah. Agassi was. Like Chang. Michael Chang was.
Right?
Yeah, he was 5'8"
or something. Yeah.
And so there's no prototype, but the game. I'll say this, Bill. The game has seems taller for men. It's almost like a range now. You find the 6'3", 6'4" is not uncommon now, where that used to not be the case.
I'll tell you one thing about watching tennis on TV. And for those out there wondering if a 275-pound defensive tackle played tennis, yes, I played tennis for a semester in college, and I got a passing grade for it. That was the only reason.
Well, Bill,
I needed the credit.
I still got to give you.
You can participate. Anyone can participate. Well, in any sport.
Now watch what Ernie tells you. See, you're always ready to throw me under the bus. Now go ahead, Ernie. Tell me.
I was going to tell you, during your years with the Champions Association, I got the honor and privilege to play with Franco Harris.
Uh-huh.
Now you're talking 6'4", what, 238 maybe?
220,
225. During that year, the Champions used to have this great celebrity tournament, and I was lucky. The stars was aligned, and I played with Franco Harris. And I'm talking, what, Bill, probably just 3 years removed from the Super Bowl.
Was it the Super Bowl or Seattle?
Well, Seattle, he played for, but we don't even want to talk about that uniform. I still have nightmares when I see that uniform on Franco Harris.
That was low and unnecessary.
Hey, I'm just saying, Bill. I'm keeping it objective, man.
Franco's
my favorite player of all time.
Well, actually, Ernie threw me a curve because I thought you were about to offer that you see me play tennis and I'm not bad.
Bill, I don't want to do this to anybody listening. No. Bill, you all right.
I'm going to throw
you on. All right.
He participated, right?
He participates. It's good to see you, Bill, out there getting this exercise.
Let's not leave out the 275 pounds.
275.
I'm not bad.
A pure man.
I'm not bad. So he'll do. I get the ball back over the net.
But getting back to Franco. I'm telling you, when you're talking about good athletes can do anything.
Uh-huh.
Now, he really, you know, just wasn't a tennis player. But I remember him sharing, if you can get the ball back, I'll control the net. And sure enough, not playing at all, the range he had, getting back to what you're saying about Len, 6'4", he covered the net like
nobody's
business.
And I believe
business.
You, Ernie. And I tell those people in Oakland all the time why he caught that ball. The immaculate reception. Mm. I mean, he's just a bad boy.
That ball didn't hit the ground.
And
not only did he play tennis, he played seriously. He played the game seriously. I'll tell you somebody else who was a very good player, Lynn Swann.
Really?
Remember Lynn Swann played with us a couple years in the celebrity tournament. Lynn Swann was a very good tennis player and took the game very seriously. So before we conclude this segment, do I have 2 minutes left, King? Before we can just update everybody on what the Highland Park Tennis Association is doing and how people can get in touch. Are there still several clinics left for the summer and how folks can get to you?
Yeah, Bill, you know, thanks for reminding me. The Highland Park Tennis Club has been together now for 17 years. One of our signature pieces is we give a free tennis clinic starting May 6th, and we go to July 22nd. And actually, we're coming up on our last free tennis clinic this weekend at the Highland Park Courts. But, Bill, what we do in the community, we not only play tennis and grow tennis in our community, we also give back. And, you know, Bill, we lost one of our great members, Carl Parker, who was just an icon in the Boys and Girls Club in Pittsburgh.
I didn't know Carl
best. Yeah, Bill. We just gave the Boys and Girls Club a $500 donation, and before that, we gave Vanessa German in Homewood, the art house, we gave her a $500 scholarship. And so we give back. Not only do we try to grow tennis, but we give back to the community. And one of the things that I love about the Highland Park Tennis Club is that, you know, the USTA has, tasked us to find talent. And what they're telling us is, we want to find athletes. If you can find athletes, they'll take it to the next level, because the analogy is they use this. Can you imagine LeBron James playing tennis? Because the big three is always going to, and they're going to take the stadiums, the football, the basketball, and the baseball. So if we could find tennis players before they go to those team sports, we would love to do that. But the way you would contact the Highland Park Tennis Club is www.hptcinfo. And that way you can, go on the web and find us. Also, I'll give you a number, 412-795-4426.
Well, and give that number real quick one more time.
All right. 412-795-4426. 4426, and we are a 501c3 organization.
Okay, and we'll come back after we have one more segment to go on Soul Take Champions Live. Be right back in a moment. We'll update you on that money opportunity one more time, and we'll round out Kevin Cameron's Pittsburgh Pirates, and we'll get ready to walk that walk and talk that talk. Not here, not now, but in a moment.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.